Hey, welcome back after a two-week hiatus. It's the Trailer Blazers. Look, my name's Ben. I'm here with a good buddy of mine, Nick Kelly. You ever heard of him?
Have you? It'd be Nick, funny if you did.
It would be funny. Nick, you're a funny guy. Hey, you ever met yourself, Nick?
Well, funny, funny how? Funny like a clown? Do I amuse you?
I'm not saying that. More funny ho-ho, not funny ha-ha.
Oh, okay. That's better.
We don't want people to think you're a joke. They, you know? Look, Nick's a capable guy. Capable of doing podcasts. Capable of collecting hot toys and things.
Yeah, well, that's more of a handicap than anything else.
That's to his detriment.
Yeah, truly.
What's the newest?
Although I will say, a huge shout out to them for not making anything interesting in the past several months and letting me keep a lot of my money. I've only pre-ordered like 3 things this year.
Oh, wow. Oh, but what's the Paul Atreides? That's not Hot Toys.
That's Queen. Queen Studios or InArt.
InArt. Yeah, that's what I saw. Okay. Are you going to get that?
Yeah, so InArt is a higher scale than Hot Toys even. Mm. And I've always wanted at least one InArt thing, but I don't want multiples. So, like, I thought, what's one thing that I can get that I won't feel compelled to collect a whole line of? And I was like, I think Paul Atreides can represent Dune as its entirety, and I won't have to buy multiple Dune figures, even if they make them. So I was like, I'll get Paul.
Yeah.
And then I'll have one.
You didn't want the Baron Harkonnen and the nasty Bacta tank?
No, I don't need that. I don't need creepy bald Fade Rautha. Yeah. I would be tempted by Lady Jessica, but I think I just will stick to just Paul.
You know what I kind of want? I want to 3D print a dish like a food safe dish that is the same shape as that Bacta tank that Baron Harkonnen's in, and you can put olive oil and balsamic vinegar in it, so it look, and then you can, and then it's like just his head's poking out of it when you fill it up.
Well, you could get the McFarlane figure, the Baron Harkonnen McFarlane figure, and stick it in there.
Yeah, and then eat around it.
Yeah.
Guys, this is not a show about collectible toys. Believe it or not, this is a podcast, a whoosie what's it, about trailers, movie trailers and video game trailers and the thoughts, the worthless thoughts of two middle-aged men.
I've only recently realized that I'm middle-aged. I was like, oh, heck, that snuck up. That's okay.
It comes at you. How many things are hurting? That's the question. How many things are hurting?
Most of them.
It'd be like that.
I've been running 5K almost every single day for 2 months straight. I only haven't done it. I didn't do it today because it snowed nonstop. And I didn't do it last Thursday because it was raining. But pretty much other than that, like almost 2 months straight every day.
Tell them why, Nick. Why are you doing this?
So that my Star Trek uniforms fit.
The exact same reason I've been on my weight loss journey, folks. The most important thing is that we look good in our Starfleet uniforms.
Yeah, well, so I've talked about this already on this podcast, but I'm going to be Riker. But Riker's barrel-chested like me, so I could already be a good Riker. But recently, I was like, well, I also want to be Tom Paris. And Tom Paris is lanky and skinny.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I gotta look Tom Paris-y to be Tom Paris. So at Dragon Con, I'm going to do Riker and Baylan Skoll from Ahsoka the first 2 days, and then I'll shave my beard, and then I'll be Tom Paris.
I feel like you should have a pair of like women's underwear hanging out of your belt line or whatever.
Yeah, I was thinking of just carrying a pool cue around because I feel like that would immediately be like, oh, it's Paris.
You got to have the props. Oh, we still got to find you a trombone.
I still haven't found a trombone. One of my friends is working on it. I have not heard back from her yet that she succeeded, but
okay. I feel like the pool cue is going to be a lot easier from the thrift store, I bet.
Yeah, for sure. The pool cue is doable. The trombone is a little harder.
Yeah,
but also important.
It is. You got to have it, man.
Yeah.
Well, also important is what we done had watched this past week. Folks, we've watched a few things.
What we done watched.
Oh, yeah. So I went and saw Dune Part 2 in the theater.
Denis Villeneuve.
Denis Villeneuve's Dune Part 2. It is extremely good, as you would expect.
Yeah.
It's just a direct continuation. It starts right after the first one, continues on. There's a few change. Like, the first one is pretty much, like, straight adapted from the book. There's some changes in this one, but they are not detrimental, and they made sense in a timeline way. Some people are complaining about Chaney being different, but I feel like she was a weak character in the book.
I do too. I agree.
Yeah.
Especially. Contrasted with like the Lady Jessica,
yeah,
who's such a strong character.
Yeah, she just didn't. She was too servile to Paul in the book, and like I saw some guy making the argument that like she was Paul's rock, and her death later is what turns him on the different path. And I was like, well, that's just fridging, though. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of... Like, Dune is from the 60s. Like, you can update parts of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I did... this may be a spoiler or not. I don't know. Does Paul have any future visions of Leto the Second?
He does not.
Okay.
He has a future vision of Aaliyah. But not Leto the Second.
Okay.
They might, if he's only adapting Dune and Dune Messiah, they could conceivably leave out Leto the Second,
yeah,
and it would not impact the story at all.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I watched Dune 2. I've been continuing my Star Trek Airdate watch. So you know I'm in Deep Space Nine Voyager, and I watched the TNG movie First Contact last night, which is a great one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's the Borg, and the Borg are the best Star Trek villain. And I was delighted at how perfectly they managed the continuity with Deep Space Nine, because Worf is stationed in Deep Space Nine.
Oh.
So at the beginning, when the Enterprise E goes to where the cube appeared in the Alpha Quadrant, Worf is there, but he's in the Defiant from Deep Space Nine. And then he ends up on the Enterprise because the Defiant gets wrecked up, and he's like, what happened to the Defiant? And then they're like, it's adrift, but it's salvageable. So that then way, later in Deep Space Nine, he can talk about it, you know, and it fits in perfectly because they care in Star Trek about the continuity.
Do they reference the movie in Deep Space Nine after the movie came out?
Yes.
That's really cool. That's really cool. That's like Marvel level stuff.
Yep. And since the Enterprise E was built after Voyager, it has a holodock on it, an emergency medical hologram. So Robert Picardo, when they need a distraction, Beverly is like, I swear I'd never used one of these. And then she's like, activate emergency medical hologram.
Please state the nature of the medical emergency.
And then she made him do a distraction. So that was great. And then also Ethan Phillips, who plays Neelix, got to play a holodeck character because he obviously, as a person, looks nothing like Neelix.
Oh, sure.
So yeah. I thought that was fun. It was directed by Jonathan Frakes, who is like the best Star Trek director. He directed the live-action Lower Decks crossover on Strange New Worlds. So excellent. Obviously, he's Riker. He's the best.
Lower Decks happens a little bit after Deep Space Nine and Next Generation.
You can tell by the star dates Because Mariner is the same age as Wesley Crusher.
Yeah.
So you can, because she was in the class with him and Nick Locarno when Nick Locarno accidentally killed that guy. So she's the same age as She's the same age as Wesley. So you can kind of extrapolate from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched X-Men 97, and so did you. We're going to be covering those on the Patreon, so I'm not going to talk about it on here.
Nope.
If you want to hear us talk about X-Men, you got to pay. And then I watched the Taylor Swift Eras concert on Disney Plus last weekend. Taylor Swift is the best entertainer in the world. That was the most impressive live concert I've ever seen. It was like 1,000 Super Bowl halftime shows combined into one thing.
Wow.
If Dazzler was a real person, it's Taylor Swift. 100%.
Interesting.
100% is that. Go on.
So I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. I don't like Taylor Swift. I don't care for her music or whatever. I do have respect for the creativity and the technology that goes into that show. And I'll also say I have respect for her training regimen for that show, which is she runs on a treadmill and sings all the songs while running.
That makes a lot of sense because she's jumping around and doing stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was incredible. Really, really. And to do that for 3 hours a couple times a week.
Yeah.
That's insane. She works harder than anyone else.
She works hard. You got to recognize that.
Yeah. So that was great. That really kind of blew my mind watching that. She's great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I watched.
So I also watched X-Men 97, and you get no thoughts. Zero thoughts about it. Sorry. Did he like it? Did he not? Guess you'll have to find out in the Patreon episode. Exclusive. VIP exclusive. Like at the snake hole.
Yep.
Erin and I watched Dune Part 1. She'd never seen Dune Part 1, and we want to go see Part 2 in the theater. So it's a perfect movie. I mean, it's literally perfect. It's so good.
Agreed.
And then right after we watched that, we watched The Devil Wears Prada. So we're doing this thing where she picks a movie, I pick a movie. And so I watched The Devil. It's the first time I've ever seen The Devil Wears Prada.
I have not seen it, but I do like Anne Hathaway.
The best part of that movie is the Tooch.
Oh yeah.
I love Stanley Tucci. I just love Stanley. He's so good. And that, you know, that movie was where Emily Blunt got her start.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Emily Blunt plays a main character in it, and young Emily Blunt.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So I've seen it now. So that's what I've done watched. That's enough of that. Let's talk about this here new news.
This is the Dumb Dudes News Network.
We only really have one thing here.
We may have two. I forgot to put it on here.
We'll get to that secret mystery item. The first thing is that Margot Robbie's company is producing a Sims movie, a movie based on the video game The Sims. So hopefully it's all in Simlish. Which the only thing I remember from when I used to play The Sims is a Copa Friagaber, Frau Jeepshimar. What Jess told me about this, that they were making a Sims movie. And as a joke, I was like, oh, they're going to rip off the Barbie movie. It'll be Margot Robbie as a Sim being like, do you ever think about death? And then the Grim Reaper appears. And then she's like, is that really what it is? And I said, probably not. And she's like, well, Margot Robbie is making it. And I was like, oh, I had no idea.
So do you think she played it as a kid?
Probably. I think most people our age played it. And she is around our age, I think.
Hmm.
She's a little younger, maybe.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
I want to know now. I got to look up.
Yeah. I wonder how. I'm going to guess she's 34. 35.
Margot Robbie was born in 1990, so she is 33.
33, okay. That's close.
Possibly 34, depending on when her birthday is.
Yeah, correct. Okay, so I don't know how they're going to do it. Maybe it will be in Simlish.
They'll have definitely got the little triangles above their heads.
Oh, sure.
The diamonds.
Mm-hmm. I imagine it'll be kind of funny and poppy and all that.
Yeah. Oh, what's this mystery item now?
The mystery item is that the never-ending story is going to continue with a new a film series adaptation.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. I don't know that anything never-ending story was needed to be made after the first one.
No, they proved that with the second one.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about this other than it's in development.
So the other day we were walking Chile, and we were walking by the graveyard by my house, and there was like this thicket of grass and twigs, and it looked like a cave. So I said to Jess, I said, the Gamork Herald of the Nothing lives in here. And she was like, I haven't seen Neverending Story still. And I was like, ugh. And then I was like, if I text a picture of this to my cousin John and say, what lives in here? He will say, Gamork, Herald of the Nothing. So I texted him a picture and I said, hey, what lives in here? And he said, Gamork, Herald of the Nothing. So that's how much you know it looked like that hole that he's in.
A hole would be something. This was nothing.
Perfect, perfect.
Well, that I don't know, dude. What is the deal with all these remakes, man?
Well, we might as well go into the new.
New. Trailers, folks, we have an Adele Dazeen, and we're going to talk about remakes while we're, you know, in here. But we have an Adele Dazeen.
Yeah, it took a while to get, but it was worth waiting because we actually have some real things on here. But the first one is a remake. And a pretty questionable one at that. Our first one here is The Crow, a remake of The Crow. The plot, soulmates Eric Draven and Shelley Webster are brutally murdered. Given the chance to save his true love by sacrificing himself, Eric sets out to seek revenge, traversing the worlds of the living and the dead to put wrong things to right. Now, this is a remake that carries with it a lot of baggage. Brandon Lee played The Crow in the 90s and very famously lost his life to the production of this movie.
On set
was shot by a... Was it a real bullet that was supposed to be a blank, or was it an accident with a blank that killed him?
I want to say it was an accident with the blank, like part of the cartridge came out of the barrel.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. But he got killed by a blank as demonstrated in the movie In Bruges, when Colin Farrell shoots the blank in the guy's eye and like he goes blind and he's like, my eye, what did you do? I shot you with a blank. It's still getting shot. But yeah, so this remake of The Crow has the 100% out of the gate is going up against the death of Brandon Lee. Like that's what it's like. I don't think this is going to work. I really don't.
Here's my theory. Okay. Let me tell you how it could possibly work. Do I care? Do I want it to work? No, I don't care. But Gen Z has most likely never heard of The Crow. Certainly has never heard of Brandon Lee. I'm talking about like 99% of Gen Z has never heard of this. Okay.
Yeah.
You've probably got your modern day Gen Z goth type people who, you know, have a poster of this in their room. Guys, that is a minute fraction of all of Gen Z in America. So how can the studio do this? Well, if you watch this trailer, you can tell it's geared towards Gen Z, is it not? With the music?
Probably. I don't really know Gen Z very well.
Well, I've got a Gen Z daughter, and it seems very Gen Z-ish to me. And so I just go, look, they think this is a brand new IP coming out. They don't know.
Yeah. Also, The Crow is based on a comic book. So, like, just because a guy dies when you're making a movie, does that mean they can never be any further adaptation of an original work? Like, there are movies based on comic books that you can take new stabs at. Like, people can readapt books all the time.
Yeah.
No one ever complains about another adaptation of Jane Austen novels, you know?
Or Harry Potter. There's an,
yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just because of the baggage of Brandon Lee. I think that's all the reviews are going to be about. So they come out of the gate with that handicap there. I don't want to watch this. I watched The Crow for the first time like a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
It's in one of the What We Done Watched segments of this podcast.
Oh, is it?
So you could find it if you're an eagle-eyed listener, eagle-eared listener. But like, I don't like The Crow. Like, it's not like I'm not like an underworld goth from 2003. You know, like this isn't my bag.
What's that other movie that's like under? Is it Underworld? Is it called Underworld?
Yeah, with Kate Beckinsale.
Kate Beckinsale, yeah. That's like a less serious vibe of this type of vibe, right?
I like those movies. Like, Underworld are fun movies, but like, I don't like. I think they're goofy, and so there are people that probably are like, "Yeah, Underworld."
Yeah. It's people that wear a lot of like silver jewelry and like spiky bracelets and septum rings, I imagine.
Yeah, nothing against goths, but you know, this is an era. It's more the era that I'm not into, you know.
Sure, no, I agree. Like if you want to dress like that, I mean that's totally fine. Personally, I don't find it aesthetically pleasing, but you know what?
I find it aesthetically pleasing. When Kate Beckinsale does it.
Touche. Touche. Touche.
But yeah.
So yeah, I'm not going to watch this.
No, I don't want to.
This is a Red Band trailer, by the way.
I only watched the other one for the zeitgeist, you know?
Yeah. You watching it a few years ago is almost like a historical watch, like a Criterion Collection type of watch.
Yes, that is why I watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Okay, next up we have Franklin.
The plot explores the story of one of the greatest gambles of Ben Franklin's career. At age 70, Franklin outmaneuvered British spies and French informers while engineering the Franco-American alliance of 1778. And this inexplicably stars Michael Douglas as Benjamin Franklin.
Age appropriate.
Yeah, it's going to be on Apple TV on April 12th. The first thing I thought of was the HBO John Adams miniseries with Paul Giamatti, which was very, very good.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, very, very, very good. But this, like, it's such a, I could name 100 actors that I would think could play Ben Franklin before I ever even got to Michael Douglas, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what a weird choice.
Here's the missed opportunity for me, is that you should have had somebody that was fluent in French as well as English, because Benjamin Franklin, I believe, was fluent in French, which is why he was such a good diplomat in France.
Yeah.
So I wish that the parts in French or parts in France were in French
instead of British accents.
Yeah. So that made me. I would have had a lot more respect for this if they'd have done that.
Yeah, I don't need to be dumbed down. Like, I can read subtitles. Like, yeah. I'm watching Shogun and Tokyo Vice right now.
Yeah, it's great. You can do it. You know, don't be a coward. You know who would tell these people that they're cowards? Take a guess. What director would tell them that they're cowards? He would like to see the baby.
Oh, Werner. Werner Herzog.
Werner Herzog would tell them they're cowards.
Yeah, he might, but...
He'd also like to see the baby.
He would like to see the baby. I just don't... this is probably good.
It seems
everything on Apple's good.
Yeah, it seems a little overdramatic, though. At least the trailer made it seem really overdramatic.
I think so. But every single period piece about the Founding Fathers is done overdramatic.
Sure. Yeah,
except for Hamilton.
LOL. All right, so next we have a trailer for Arcadian.
Sounds like the name of a hotel. The plot is a father and his twin teenage sons fight to survive in a remote farmhouse at the end of the world. This, to me, is Nicolas Cage knockoff of A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
I don't think there's, like, a sound. It's not like the monsters find you because of sound.
No.
But it really looks like and feels like A Quiet Place.
It really does. They don't show the threat in this. I wonder if they will show the threat, but they don't show it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if it's going to be like this. Hey, they don't show the threat, and at the end of the movie, surprise, it's people.
Yeah, maybe. This is one where I don't want to watch it, but I want to read about it on Wikipedia after it comes out.
Sure.
Because I want to know. I want to know without experiencing it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You
don't want to do the time commitment of an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just tell me the story and I'll get on with it.
And like, I love Nicolas Cage, but I don't really like horror movies.
Yeah.
And there's a dog in it, so I'd have to Google first if anything bad happens to the dog.
I don't want to say, I get real frustrated at stories where they have teenagers making stupid decisions.
Oh, yeah.
And this is exactly what that seems like. And I don't want to just get artificially mad. And that makes me artificially mad when teenagers are stupid.
So, like, every horror movie from the 80s?
Yeah. I don't like any of them. Sorry. I don't care how classic it is. I don't want it.
Yeah. Well, this one, I don't know. I don't want to watch it, but I want to know how it happens, what happens in it. So that's what I have to say.
We'll follow up. We can at least find the Wikipedia article on it afterwards. Okay, next we have a trailer for Atlas.
A bleak-sounding future where an AI soldier has determined that the only way to end the war is to end humanity. This is J-Lo, sci-fi movie. And when I clicked on it, I was like, could this be good? And then I watched the trailer and I was like, yes, it can be.
Yeah, this looks good. It looks good. Really good special effects. Really far futuristic, I would say, like high sci-fi.
Cool mechs.
I think sort of a plausible and it may have kind of been done before, but a plausible AI type of storyline.
Yep. Also Simu Liu is in it and Mark Strong. They're good. It just looks cool. It's like a cool little sci-fi movie.
Yeah. Is this similar to the plot of Eagle Eye?
No, wasn't Eagle Eye a remake of Rear Window, but with technology instead of a... Or no, was that... No, that was Disturbia. I knew it was a Shia LaBeouf movie that was a remake of Rear Window.
Hold on. Let me read you the plot of Eagle Eye.
Isn't Eagle Eye a remake too, though?
Eagle Eye's from 2008.
The plot of Eagle Eye is Jerry and Rachel are two strangers thrown together by a mysterious phone call from a woman they have never met. Threatening their lives and families, she pushes Jerry and Rachel into a series of increasingly dangerous situations, using the technology of everyday life to track and control their every move. That sounds a little different to me.
So, I thought it was an AI, and it thinks it knows best, and that's why it goes rogue.
That's probably what happens. I saw this movie, but I don't remember anything. Other than Michelle Monaghan being in it and not being someone's wife for once. Oh, there's a lot of people in this movie. Rosario Dawson, Anthony Mackie, Billy Bob Thornton. Michael Chiklis. Well, anyway, I don't think the plot of Atlas sounds that close to...
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. I just feel like I've kind of heard it before, but I think it's a good premise. I think it's a good premise.
Also, I approve of their non-Shia LaBeouf policy.
Yeah, for sure.
That definitely makes it more enjoyable.
I love mechs, so give me any kind of mech content, I'm into it.
It looks like a Titan AE, or not Titanfall mech.
Yeah.
Not Titan AE.
Yeah.
Titan AE is a very good Don Bluth animated movie.
Don Bluth. Okay. Yeah. I've seen it.
Very good.
Yep. So we're going to watch Atlas. It's on Netflix. It's going to be easy.
Yeah.
Easy
to
watch. Next up, we have Ronja, the Robber's Daughter. This is a Swedish movie.
Yes. Follows the adventures of a young girl born into a band of robbers in a medieval Scandinavian fortress. As Ronja grows up, she learns that surrounding forests can be a magical and sometimes dangerous place filled with strange creatures. And I can tell you from this trailer, all of the creatures look cool. The special effects look cool. And this movie looks good.
Yeah, at the end they show these little trolls, and they do it like tilt shift almost.
Yeah,
and it the effect is really good. Like, it looks really good.
Yes, this I don't know. This was very This was very intriguing to me.
Yeah.
It's going to be on Netflix on March 28th.
Okay, so very soon. Yeah. I am really intrigued with sort of like tales in European countries that everybody in that country is familiar with, mm-hmm. but that we are not. I mean, you might be, Nick, because you're...
I'm fairly familiar with them.
Because you're that guy. Let me give you guys context for this. I'm in a chat with Missy and Nick, and they started talking about folk monsters, and I could not follow this conversation. I deeply wanted to, but they were naming these monsters that I have never heard of, never seen it written, and just kept naming them, and I'm like, I don't know any of this.
I have like a Giles from Buffy the Vampire Slayer esque collection of like ancient folklore books, and just like big tomes of all this stuff on bookshelves in my house.
I love that. I find this an interesting factoid about you.
Yeah, I'm basically Giles from Buffy.
Okay, so anyway. I want to watch movies like, or shows, or whatever this is, Ronya the Robber's Daughter, so I can be familiar with these folklore tales, these familiar tales from these countries, these European countries. I think they're really fun.
Yes. A lot of good ones.
Yeah. Borkeschwein. That's what they say.
Borkeschwein.
The Borkeschwein.
Borkeschwein!
So we'll probably watch this.
Yes, definitely.
The Acolyte. That's what's next. This is Disney Plus, baby.
Yes, this Star Wars, The Acolyte, this takes place during the High Republic, so this is like at least a couple hundred years before the Clone Wars. I don't know how long, but it's like long, long ago.
Yeah, I thought it was thousands of years.
It might be thousands of years.
Yeah.
I don't know when the High Republic is. It's way before Clone Wars.
Yes.
The plot is not really known, but it's like, I think the emerging of the Sith, maybe.
Maybe.
There's a real cute monkey Jedi guy at the beginning
there
shot
is,
of this.
Yeah.
And Daphne Keen is like a Zabrek kind of. She's X-23 from Logan. And, Carrie Ann Moss looked like she was a Jedi.
Yep.
In this.
Yeah. Doing some. What's the martial art? I always forget that there's several martial arts in Star Wars, but it's the Masters of the Teras Kasi. That's what I'm.
Yeah.
Thinking.
Yeah.
There's some Teras Kasi in this.
It was great when they brought that into Solo as well.
Yeah.
Because Kira was doing Teras Kasi.
Yeah.
Manny Jacinto from The Good Place was in this. I saw him.
Yep.
This comes out on June 4th, so it's like a birthday gift for us. Because it's literally the day between our birthdays.
It is. I didn't know it was coming out that day. That's great.
Yep.
We get...
And...
All these we get all these aliens, we get yellow lightsabers, we get this high production value. All of this is very exciting to me.
They shot it outside on sets and on location, so it's not like green screen. I'm ready for it. I want it.
I do too.
Give it to me.
It looks great. Everything like this, yeah, like the sets, the costumes, the everything looks great. Nick, if you know Nick and I, we do not get tired of comic book movies. We do not get tired of Star Wars or Star Trek or really sci-fi. We do not get tired of these things. Like they can't burn us out.
Nope.
So we will eat this up.
Yeah, I like the stuff that I like consistently,
yeah.
And not just because it's the flavor of the month, you know.
Correct.
Like I always like the same stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. So and speaking of the stuff that we like, same stuff that we like, we got a trailer finally for Furiosa.
Yeah, so we had a teaser trailer for this,
yeah.
But it was pretty short and
yeah.
It wasn't as great as this trailer, which is excellent.
Oh, it's an excellent trailer.
Yeah. So what jumps out to me right away is just the choice that George Miller made to make this be the colorful apocalypse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the skies are blue and the sand is red and everything's bright and great.
Yeah. And it's very Miller-esque in that, like, the way the movement and the frame rates are.
Yeah.
It's very much his style.
Yep. Mad Max Fury Road from 2015 is one of the most surprising movies I've ever, like, I expected to enjoy it, but when I saw it in the theater, I was like, oh, this is like top tier. Mm-hmm. Like, this is an all-timer right here.
Yeah, like, he transports you to that world.
Yes. Looking very much forward to that. Chris Hemsworth is having a great time being the villain in this.
Dialing up that Aussie accent, like, to the nth degree, man.
Yeah, I don't think I can't remember him ever having an Australian accent, his regular accent, in something before.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I can't remember.
Like, the first time he gets to use his real voice.
Yeah, but I think he even... It's like this would this would be like me kind of slipping down into a...
Yeah, he definitely turned it up.
Yeah, he turns, like, it up.
The real... And also, there's the orchestral version of Man Who Sold the World by David Bowie. Is the music playing, and it's so good. And I recently saw something where George Miller said people were asking why he didn't de-age Charlize Theron and have her play Furiosa. And he said, because that's the only thing the reviews would be about. And I was like, that's the most accurate thing anyone ever said.
Hey, I think he is just, he knows things. He's just a guy who knows things.
He is. I mean, the man made Babe 2, Pig in the City, and that is not a movie that should be great, but it is. And it's literally great. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Like,
he just
it shouldn't
that.
Be.
Yeah.
What a ridiculous thing, but it is.
We've mentioned that in this podcast no less than 3 or 4 times.
Oh yeah, because it's one of those things that surprises me. So
yeah,
but yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy as Furiosa, Chris Hemsworth. This looks excellent. I will see this in the theater as soon as I can when it comes out, which is May 24th.
Yeah,
I will be in New Orleans, but I don't know if I'll want to go see a movie while I'm there. I'll be busy eating.
Yeah. Oh, you will be. I would go see some live jazz or some, you know, that the big band stuff that they got down there.
That's, yeah, when I get back.
You get to see that.
Maybe I can see it before I leave, because this comes out right before I leave.
Oh, okay. Get to see that motorcycle chariot that Chris Hemsworth has.
Yes, yes.
So cool. I love the vehicles, man. There's just so much to love in these movies. They're so cool.
And you know there's going to be some, like, out of left field fun stuff, like the guitar guy from Fury Road.
Yeah. People still talk about that, man.
Yep.
We can't wait for this. When is this coming out again? Remind me.
May 24th.
Okay. So we've got a pretty good May and June coming up, you know?
Yeah.
Next up, we have a trailer for Alien Romulus.
While scavenging the deep ends of a derelict space station, a group of young space colonizers come face to face with the most terrifying life form in the universe. This is an alien movie directed by Fede Alvarez, who directed the... 2011 Evil Dead movie. So there's no way that I'm gonna watch this. This is gonna be too gross for me. Yeah. I don't think I could stomach a Fede Alvarez alien movie personally.
I was not familiar with Fede Alvarez, but I looked at the titles of all the stuff he's made. He seems to be a very formulaic horror movie guy.
I think he's a good director. Like, Evil Dead is a good remake. It's just gross. And I think this alien movie will be really gross. But I also think if you like that, it will be good. Like, I think he's good.
Okay.
He's too much for me.
Okay. So I'm thinking it's probably too much for me then as well, because I don't like gore and I don't like gratuitous.
This is going to be extra gratuitous.
To me, I lean... So Aliens, obviously, Aliens is my favorite Aliens movie.
Me too.
And what is... That movie is a little bit more sci-fi than horror.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And so that's why we like it more, right?
Yes.
I mean, I love Alien.
I think it's a perfect movie.
Exactly. I would agree, right? But I don't think I want my Aliens to be more horror-y. I want it to be its own thing. I want it to be more Aliens than horror.
I want the Noah Hawley Alien TV show that's coming out, because he's specifically ignoring Prometheus and Alien Covenant as things. And he said to Ridley Scott, and this, like, I think this is why Ridley Scott respects him, because he was like, I'm not going to use Alien, Prometheus, and Covenant's mythology because I don't like them and I don't think it's good. And this is like him sitting next to Ridley Scott talking about making
that, that's some balls show. Right there.
Yeah. He's like, I don't like them. And he's like, I don't like that the alien was an engineered bioweapon. He's like, I don't think that's interesting. He's like, I liked it better when it was just a natural predator. And he's like, I'm taking it back to the VHS, or what do you call it? VHS retro futurism. Mm. So that's what his show is going to be more like Alien, the first one, but like really like it, not not just horror, but like visually like it too.
Okay. I mean, you've sold me. Obviously, we love the 80s vision of the future. That retro futurism is some of my favorite stuff. So I'm, sold.
Also, it's Noah Hawley. He made Fargo. He's flawless, in my opinion.
Well, there we go. So bring that on to us, please. Yep. And also, I want, and I may have to have AI make this movie for me in the future, but I want a Blade Runner alien crossover. Because what are the two companies?
Weyland-Yutani and Tyrell.
Yes, those two companies have to exist in the same universe. They have to.
Yeah, they're very similar. But I don't want any. I don't want alien life forms in Blade Runner. I want only humans and replicants.
I just want the companies to exist. I just want to see the Weyland-Yutani Corps skyscraper in the city.
So you want an Easter egg is what you want.
Yeah, okay, I want an Easter egg.
You'd do with an Easter egg.
Oh, I would do it. I would do with an Easter egg, sure. I'd do with an Easter egg. Okay, next up we have something that we really, 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 really want to be good, and that is Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
So, I love Beetlejuice. It's one of my favorite movies
ever. It's great. So good.
When they first announced this movie, I think on this podcast, probably, I said, I have one condition, and that's that it starts off with his number being called from the waiting room when he's sitting there, and literally the movie poster, the teaser poster, is him holding the number up.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it literally, I've never seen this poster until right now because I opened the IMDb. That's literally the poster. And also the title, calling it Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, is genius. And sets up for a third one.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, obviously. Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Michael Keaton as Beetlejuice is one of the greatest characters ever in a movie.
So good.
He's only got 17 minutes of screen time in the whole first movie. But he's like one of the best characters ever in anything. This movie proves that Tim Burton can make movies without Helena Bonham Carter and Johnny Depp.
Yep.
So we're going back to the basics of Winona Ryder. And Jenna Ortega, he did Wednesday with, and Wednesday was good.
Yep. And speaking back to the basics, he said he wants to do true stop motion, old school style in this.
Yes. And yes. So, I you know, sandworms. there'll be some sandworms.
Sandworms. The here's what I want. Let me tell you what I want from this. Mainly is because we only got 17 minutes of Beetlejuice in the first movie. I want a lot of Beetlejuice in this.
Yes, yeah. I want him to show up early, and I don't want him to ever shut up.
Yeah,
because like I'm gonna be quoting all of the things he says forever, like the other movie.
Give us the quotes, man.
And already he says one thing in this trailer, and it's already excellent.
I burst out laughing when I heard it.
Yeah.
The juice is loose. It's like it's understated and perfect, and it's like it has you salivating.
Yeah. And we got Catherine O'Hara back as Delia, and
the model, Lydia. The model of the town is there.
Yeah, yep, the model town. I wonder what happened to the Maitlands. Because obviously Geena Davis and Alec Baldwin aren't in it. And well, even if dead. They were, because they're ghosts, so that they would look the same. I wonder if they're just not around anymore.
Yeah, they probably just moved on, you know.
They moved on. I just really, really want this to be good. Like, Jenna Ortega's good. Like, I really liked Wednesday. Catherine O'Hara's great.
It's great.
Winona Ryder is great. And Michael Keaton is the GOAT. So, I think this is the most excited I've been for a Tim Burton movie. since the first time Beetlejuice came out.
Yeah, this is the most excited I've been since 1989 Batman. Yeah. I feel like if everybody came on board for this, which they did,
yep.
Surely the script is really good, and that this is gonna be good. I feel like Tim Burton's got the right attitude about it, the right approach to it. This is sort of like a sacred thing, you know, for a lot mm-hmm. of people, and maybe even to them. And we hope that Michael Keaton has a fun time playing this character. Yes.
Yeah, that'll be, if nothing else, I'm sure Beetlejuice will be fun and great.
Yeah, just give us some quotes, please. Please, yes. Please and thank you.
The juice is loose.
Next up, we have a trailer for The Penguin. This is on Max.
Yeah, following the events of The Batman, Oswald Cobblepot, a.k.a. The Penguin, makes a play to grab the reins of the crime world in Gotham. So this is like a series about the Penguin from the Batman movie, the Matt Reeves one.
Yep.
And this looks really good because Tom Farrell is great.
He's so good. And the focus of this trailer is his acting. That's like the focus of this. They're basically like have him talking, like sitting in a chair and talking, just so you can see that he's in it to win it. Like, he is acting on full blast.
Like, it's so compelling. And it's just him talking about, like, a guy who died when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is just riveting.
Right? Yeah. So, this is the only DC thing I want. And it looks just like the Batman. Like...
Yes.
So, I'm into this. I want this.
Me too. I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
It's got Colin Farrell. It's got Kristen Milioti from How I Met Your Mother. And is there anyone else that I recognize here? Not really. I don't know these other people, but...
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Francois Chau is in it. He was in Lost. He was the Dharma Initiative scientist in the videos.
I was thinking about Dharma Initiative the other day.
Yeah, that guy pops up in everything, Francois Chau. Yeah, and those Dharma Initiative videos were great.
Those were great.
But yeah, Penguin looks great.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to anybody else in this trailer because Colin Farrell was so riveting.
Right, yeah. I didn't even notice that Kristen Milioti was in it until I just read it.
Right. So we're excited. We'll watch that on Max. Do we have a date? Does it say a date?
Oh, I closed the window, unfortunately.
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sometime in Max. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, now we have something you don't care about. It is a trailer for the new season of House of the Dragon.
Yeah. The House of the Dragon is the prequel to Game of Thrones, which I... do not care for. There is no release date yet for The Penguin anyway.
Oh, okay.
Going back. So anyway, House of the Dragon. An internal succession war within House Targaryen at the height of its power. 172 years before the birth of Daenerys Targaryen. Yeah, so this is more of the same of Game of Thrones. Unpleasant medieval fantasy.
This does feature a dragon the size of a Super Walmart.
I don't like dragons.
Oh, definitive statement?
Yeah, I find them to be the most boring creature that you can go to. It's like so blasé. It's like very basic to me, a dragon.
I like dragons just fine. But I really like cultural dragons. I like when a dragon is reflective of the culture that it came from. So a Chinese dragon is like a long snake. And
yeah, a Chinese dragon. I like a Chinese dragon, and I like Smaug. But apart from Smaug, I don't like any Western dragons.
Okay, none of the European-style dragons.
Only
Smaug in the building.
Yeah.
Only Smaugs in the building.
That sounds like an episode title.
So here's the deal. I will watch this show because it will be an excuse to snuggle with Aaron on the couch. And that's really all I care about. That's really all I want. If I could just retire and snuggle with Aaron on the couch, my days would be just fine.
How incredibly wholesome.
So I will end up watching this because it'll be something we can watch together.
I will not.
Yeah, but here's the thing, man. I'll watch it and not care about it. I won't be invested in any of the characters. I'll just be watching it to see what happens, I guess, and that's about it.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever watch it.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it, I guess. Last up, the Adele DeZinth trailer that we have is for Breathe.
An East Flatbush mother and daughter barely surviving in an oxygenless world must band together to protect each other when intruders arrive claiming to know their missing father. A lot of times people, I think, when they want to make a post-apocalyptic type thing, they're like, what should we take away from them? So in this one, it's oxygen. In what's that? There's that Sandra Bullock one where they can't see. It's like everyone loses something in these types of movies, which is fine. I'm not complaining about it. Especially because Mila Jovovich is in this. And she just looks exactly the same as always, and that is a great look.
It is. She's still a vampire, apparently.
Yeah.
Has not aged since the last thing we saw her in. And I know that work is done on these Hollywood actresses, but she does not look older at all.
Yeah, and like once this trailer started going, I was like, oh, this is probably not something I care about. And I'm still mad at Common from Silo. He was so horrible in Silo.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah, and well, not like bad. I don't mean like as bad an actor. I just mean like I wanted to kill his character because his character is so awful.
Oh, okay.
So I was mad at him. But then I saw Mila and I was like, okay, Mila's here. Maybe I should watch this.
Yeah, this made me perk up as well when I saw her in it. So
yeah, I wouldn't go to the theater to see this, but I would watch it on Max. Absolutely. I guarantee it will be.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely would not go to the theater for this.
Yeah,
they put the Mexico filter on a lot of this movie.
Yes, yeah, it has the Mexico filter. Everything is like red and yellow.
Yeah,
so. Maybe Common's a good guy in this, and to make up for how awful he is in Silo.
That's good writing if they made you hate him so much.
Yeah, it was very good. Silo is extremely good.
I need to watch that. Yeah,
extremely good. And Jess says it's better than the book.
Oh, I love that.
Yep.
Famously, Annihilation, much better.
Yep.
In the book. All right, well, that's all the new trailers that we have for you folks. What a fun, full thing it was to talk about.
Truly.
We don't have any like questions, times, or I don't even know if you'd want to write into us about it. But if you want to submit something like patron selects or whatnot, you can definitely do that. Nick, how would they do that?
Well, they could follow us on Instagram at Trailer Blazers Podcast, or they can email us at trailerblazerspod@gmail.com. If they really want to help us, they can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/trailerblazers and help us pay for that hosting. You can also get there via trailerblazerspodcast.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can call us at HitItTifa8 or 448-488-4328. And you can leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, which is still a great way for the show to gain traction. And if you do that quick, Mickey's going to let you know what happens.
Yeah, but I will tell you what's happened on our... Well, if you ever think about all these bad guys in these Batman and Spider-Man movies, that's always like an animal, like the vulture and the penguin and the man bat and all this kind of stuff. But ain't nobody ever done like a possum. When they gonna make a show called the possum? Because it's the only marsupial that I know of in North America. And that's a special thing. But possums are pretty ugly, so they should be a bad guy. And they can just make them real ugly. And I don't know how the pouch would fit into this. Maybe he has a gun maybe he has some kind of human skin pouch. Now, that's kind of gross now that I'm saying it out loud. But he hides a gun in there, or drugs, or other criminal paraphernalia. I haven't really truly brainstormed this idea. But if you want to write into us with a good idea about this new movie called The Possum, then you can do it. But make sure you leave that 5-star rating first because you got to have priorities. That is the tip.
Thank you, Quick Mickey. Effervescent, reticulated, resplendent, as always, for the Trailer Blazers. My name is Nick Kelly, and I'm the ghost of the moose, baby. Happy trailers.
And I'm Ben Moon, and I'm Borka Schwein. Forget me! Happy trailsers. Welcome back, folks, to the video games.
One quarter portion
of the show. Folks, can you believe it? We're back again with a real video game section. Wow.
Oh, wow.
We have video game stuff to talk about. I have been playing Midnight Sun still. Still great. Still loving it. And I'm playing a lot of Helldivers 2. Love Helldivers 2. I'm so into it. Doing a costume for Dragon Con. Highly recommend it.
Are you in a group with this costume?
Yes. Matter of fact, we have a Facebook group. If you're interested and you want to make a Helldivers, you know, we can invite you to the group. It's a private Dragon Con Helldivers 2 costume group.
So what are you all doing? You're doing Helldivers, and are you going to be Pike again?
I would have to pull up my Microsoft OneNote, which I'm doing now, Nick, because I can never remember the things I'm doing. So I'm doing the Great Saiyaman, okay. Dragon Ball Z. I'm doing my Ginyu Force armor, my Helldiver armor, Sonny Crockett from Miami Vice. And I may bring President Whitmore this year. I don't know. But those, the four that I mentioned, definitely those four.
Okay. I'm doing, Baylan Skoll from Ahsoka, and I'm going to be Riker, and I'm going to be Tom Paris. And if I can, I'm going to make, King Daredevil.
Yes.
From the Zdarsky comics.
God, that is one of the most aesthetically pleasing costumes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Is Jess going to do Elektra with you?
Elektra? Yeah. We need to be... I can't find... I mean, I'm sure I could 3D print a helmet or something, but it's like the helmet is the part that I'm having the hard time with.
So one thing we can do is I have a 3D scanner. We can 3D scan your head so it's actual size in 3D space. And so whoever, if you get somebody to do the helmet or if you buy the file, we can fit it to your head.
That's a good idea.
But I can't 3D design. I don't, my skills are, you need Elvis.
I'm sure there's printable Daredevil helmets.
Yeah. That is such, that and that, the Elektra that goes with it is like, I've never seen it done at Dragon Con. I've never even seen it done. And it's such an aesthetically pleasing thing that I would be really excited to see it.
Yeah, so I really want to do that. I have most of the stuff where I know how to do and where to get most of the stuff I need.
Nice.
It's just the helmet I need. So that's what I'm planning for Dragon.
Yeah. There's always that one part of the costume that's really hard. So for me, it's the boots, like these like Ginyu Force and Great Saiyan boots. Because the ones you buy like on cosplay websites are just crappy, and I'm not going to do that. So
I already have the pointed ninja shoes. That Daredevil wears?
The tabby boots?
Yeah, I already have those from when I did my Dark Elf.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so.
Great. Well, I hope you do it. I want to see it.
Speaking of elves, I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3 still.
Yeah.
I'm stuck. Well, not stuck. It's just I have to do this big puzzle, and I've been sitting there for like a week. I haven't played it in a week because I have to do this puzzle, and I need a chunk of time uninterrupted to do this puzzle. And so I just haven't done it, but I took off today and Monday, so I'll have some time this weekend. So I have a long weekend this weekend.
Yeah, spring break is next week for us. Aaron and my oldest kid are going to be in Europe.
Ooh.
England and France, and so I'm here with the two littles, so we're not going to be doing much of anything, I don't feel like, because I gotta work, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's what we've been playing. We have three video game trailers this week, and it's all new stuff.
Yeah, and one of them is really cool.
One of them is, like, I'm going to buy this day one, probably.
Yeah.
So the first one we have here is called The Forever Winter.
Yeah, so The Forever Winter is kind of generic, in my opinion. It's like a zombie future post-apocalyptic monsters versus whoever you are in first person, probably.
A lot of machine and meat combinations.
Yeah. It's like a lot of zombies and things with masks, so a lot of creepy imagery.
Yeah.
There is a cool guy with like a skull who's controlling things from a station. He's got like kind of like a deer skull with like night vision goggles on.
that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
There the I guess you call them zombies. They look like husks from Mass Effect 1.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many things in video games look like husks from Mass Effect 1.
For sure. this is a really scary looking place.
Well, it's a tactical survival horror shooter game where squads must fight to survive under the shadow of terrifying gargantuan war machines. So that's why.
Okay. That's a little too scary for me. I like it a little bit more lighthearted like Helldivers.
Yeah, I don't like this kind of game.
No.
But if you do like tactical survival horror shooter games, you could do a lot worse probably than this one with the Skull Man.
Yes. Have we got a game for you?
We sure do.
So go watch the trailer if you're into that. This next one, though, this is what we got to talk about, man. This came out of nowhere. I'd not heard of this until like the trailer came out.
Same.
It's called Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra.
Yeah, so the plot of this appears to be Captain America and the Black Panther of the 40s both fighting in World War II against Hydra, but they're kind of like at odds. Probably at the beginning of the game, and then you'll become allies.
Yeah. Friends so become guessing, enemies, enemies become friends.
Yeah, exactly. I'm guessing that you'll play as both of them and switch off.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
And that they'll have different style. Like, I bet Black Panther's like stealth gameplay, and then Cap is like fighter gameplay.
Yeah. Which is reminiscent of Ultimate Spider-Man for Xbox.
Yep. Very good game.
Very good game. So, guys, I have never seen animation look this good in a video game.
Yeah, it's Unreal 5.
Unreal 5. Okay.
Yeah.
The facial animations, like, it's unbelievable. Like, this is like jaw-dropping for me.
It was, yeah. Jay sent this to me to look at the animation, and I was like, how have I not heard of this game, though?
Seriously. It's more important. It came out of nowhere.
Like, I usually know what Marvel stuff is happening.
Yeah, this is this is a period piece and fun. I want this really bad, really bad.
Me too.
So if you have not seen this trailer, please go watch this trailer.
Yeah, it's worth watching just to see the animation.
The animation's unbelievable, man. So, and I think it's coming out for like PS5, so we get to play it.
Yeah,
I don't have to have a supercomputer to run this thing.
Right.
So that's good. And then the last trailer we have here is called Nobody Wants to Die. This is a reveal trailer.
Yeah. The plot is, lose yourself in the dystopian world of New York in the year 2329. In Nobody Wants to Die, a new detective noir adventure where immortality comes at a price that someone has to pay. So it's like you lead an investigation using advanced technology and you're hunting a serial killer. So it's like, I don't know what kind of gameplay it is, because it's a cinematic reveal trailer.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, like, I like the aesthetic of this. It's cool cyberpunk aesthetic.
Yeah, yeah, like Blade Runner-y.
Yeah, but what is the gameplay like? Is it a fighting game? Like, well, not like a fighting, but like, is it like action. An action game?
Yeah.
Or I really don't know. Is it third person? It looks cool.
Yeah, it seems to me like it would lend itself to being a third person game. I'm really only interested in this if it's more of a detective work game than action.
Agreed.
Like, I want to be in that world, and I want to investigate stuff and use the tech. Kind of like Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, most of the comments on YouTube are about, what is the gameplay? Like, I want to know what kind of game this is.
Yeah, we like the look, so, you know, tell us. So, and the guy even looks like Deckard. I mean, doesn't he?
Yeah. Definitely. There's probably all kinds of little Blade Runner Easter eggs and stuff.
Yeah. Definitely inspired by, right?
Yeah.
So, we'll keep an eye on this one.
Yeah. Future trailers will be more revealing.
I'm sure they will be. Yeah. And there'll probably be 50 trailers for this. Like, you know, the gameplay trailer and the day one launch trailer and all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
So, all right. You got anything else, Nick?
Nothing.
He's got nothing, folks. Well, I'm for the trailer Blazers. I'm Ben Moon, and I am like a husk from Mass Effect 1, okay? Happy trousers.
And I'm Nick Kelly, and I'm like a husk from Mass Effect 2. Happy trousers. Porque es
me!
The juice is loose.
Our Megadon